Thank you, David. And we are excited. I'm excited. I've enjoyed the last 3 weeks as we've gone through this topic of investing to change lives. And it's just been encouraging to me to go back and remember some of the things that happened. Even Kay said to me, she said, man, she said, it's just good to hear it again because you sort of forget some of the things that happened that were really outstanding of how God met us, helped us, and we saw lives changed. And we want to invest to change lives. And people have invested in the past, in properties here, as we shared over the last couple of weeks, what's happened to this point. And we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of this service to invest in the coming years ahead, to see lives changed. Now, this is what Jesus said, this is what the scripture says in Hebrews 13. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's what we've been talking about, how God has been faithful in the past, in the present, and as we move into the future. Then Jesus said in Matthew 16, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, this is just talking about the value of a soul. Jesus said, you know what? One soul is worth the whole world. And we think about the monies that have been invested in property and in the ministry here and the different outreaches we have had over the years. If it was only one soul that was changed and saved, it'd be worth the whole world. And so we need to get our perspective right. And I am praying that God will help me to have my perspective right to see what it is that we should invest in. And then Jesus also said, well, I say Jesus, it would be Jesus because he authored the scriptures, but 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Lives changed, transformed. We're going to hear the stories of some of them this morning. Lives that have been changed, transformed, because people have invested in the ministry here in this church. We're going to tell you about our history because of these verses. Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. And then Psalm 40 and verse 5. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, the service would last an hour and a half. Well, that's the updated version. They would be too many to declare. The last 2 weeks, our service has run longer as we have shared the goodness of the Lord. And there's just so many good things that have happened. Well, what have we shared? We shared that 42 years ago, we started in Brighton Public School, moved to another church on Madison Avenue, rented it for a short period of time, met in the Tolman House home in the rec room. We met at Pilgrim Lutheran Church downtown in Kitchener. And then we talked last week about how we moved out onto this property, renovated that garage over there, and how God was with us and helped us. Just amazing. I got to just tell you this. You're the only service that will hear this. Never said it before. When we were renovating this little building over here, putting that lean-to on, we're just doing it on Saturdays because that's the only time we could get together and we're doing it ourselves. And we ran out of blocks. And so we're going to have to wait another week or so to get blocks. Well, the backhoe was here and was digging. And we pulled up cement blocks that had been buried in the ground for years when they were doing the original building. Then we ran out of sand, and everything was closed. And if you notice, it caused us problems even as we're renovating here. This is sand. And there was a vein of pure sand that was in as they were digging. So they pulled the block up, and one of the men that was laying the block, he went over and he said, "That sand is as good as anything you would buy." They just dug right into the bank, took the sand, finished the mortar, and finished the little building over there. Now, that's a little thing. What's blocks worth? Not a whole lot. Sand, not a whole lot. But it was just an indication God was with us on that Saturday, and we were having everybody here, and the group had come over from a church in Alora Road who was helping us build, and we just had the resources that we needed. I tell you, that is such a little thing, but it's an indication how God has helped us every part of the project. So next time you see someone, say, "Did you hear about the blocks?" "No, no, I didn't hear that." You'll be able to tell that story. Okay, so we'll pick up where we were. We were renovating that garage. We had it finished. We'd renovated this poultry processing plant over here, and we were able to get the money and purchase the property. Then in 1990, we built this auditorium, and people gave and pledged. We'd had to take a mortgage out at that time. It was an interest-free mortgage, but we had worked away and had, I'm not sure which year it was, but it wasn't a whole long time after, we were able to pay off that mortgage. And I think we showed the picture the other week when we paid off the mortgage on this building and took the ashes and went out and buried the ashes on the 2 acres beside us. We didn't own the 2 acres beside us. We only had this acre and a half, but that 2 acres was there. We bought this for $120,000. The 2 acres beside us sold for $705,000. This was in 1986. But we always believed we would have that property, as I shared the other weeks. We had marched around it. We had prayed over it. We had done all this, believing that this was all going to be ours eventually, and had planted the ashes out on the property by faith to say what was such a barrier and a hardship, now that's ashes, and we're planting that in faith that we're going to have that property. Well, as time would go on, special speakers would come. I would get them when they came. I'd say, "Hey, just come with me," and we'd walk out on the property, and I'd say, "Just pray with me. Now we're believing that we can get this 2 acres." And this particular time, a man came. We walked out on the property. We prayed, and after we got finished praying, he said, "You know, the amazing thing happened." He said, "As soon as I stepped onto this property, my feet began to tingle." He said, "This property is excited about its destiny." You know, that just gripped my heart, and I thought, that's true. This property is excited about its destiny. And we had believed, we had dedicated it to the Lord, and so, you know, it was just another thing in our heart. Well, over the years, and it, you know, time went past. We were here, we were worshiping, for sale sign on that property. You know, and it was actually there for 18 years, a for sale sign or will build to lease sign on that property. Different times I'd come in thinking, "Well, I wonder if this morning when I come in I'll see a sold sign on it." Never did, but it was still there. Well, we're praying, asking the Lord. Every now and then I would call and ask about the property from the development company that had bought it. And they were a lot of money, you know. But over the years, it sort of went down a little bit. And I remember one time he said, $600,000. Man, $600,000 is way more than we could afford, even though it seemed like a good deal because they had paid more for it. So we're praying, and the church is wondering, what should we do? When do we take a step of faith? And when, you know, how big do we have to be able to believe that we could have that? And at that time, I went to a conference in Ottawa. And in this conference, they had a seminar on marketplace, Christians in the marketplace. And the whole thing was on that people are called to different places. And you don't just have to be called to the ministry, like a vocational ministry. your career, your job, your vocation can be your calling. And you're to be a light in the world. And God has people in the marketplace. And we're to be light and shine and to take that as being a calling as much as feeling, oh, well, I should go to Bible school and become a minister. But that's a calling. And of course, we believe that. We've taught that here, that wherever you are, that you're to be a light, and that's the calling on your life. Well, anyway, we're in this seminar. I'm sitting in the room on my right at the back. And the speaker said, I want to show you how the gifts of the Spirit can work in the marketplace. It doesn't have to be just in the church building, but God can use gifts of the Spirit in the marketplace. And so he said, we're going to believe, we're going to have someone come forward, and we're going to believe that God will give us word of knowledge for the person. Now, a word of knowledge, if you're not familiar, is a gift of the Spirit where God gives you just a little piece of knowledge about a situation that you have no natural knowledge of. It's a gift of the Spirit. You have a word of wisdom. Or, I mean, a word of knowledge. There is a word of wisdom, too, but a word of knowledge is that you don't know the information that God just gives you. And it's just a little snippet of it, just a word of the whole story. So, he said, who here... you have a decision to make. You're wondering about a decision. Just raise your hand. Well, almost everyone in the place raised their hand. I'm at the back, and I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm wondering about this property and when we should step forward. How do we do it? So I put my hand up along with everyone else. And he said, you, the gentleman there at the back. And he's pointing at me, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I don't want it to be me because I'm not a business person. I'm a pastor. This is for business people. And so he said, yeah, I want you to come forward. So I stood up and I started to say, I just need to tell you. And I was going to say, I'm a pastor. I'm not a business person. And as soon as I went to say, oh, no, no, don't say anything. Don't say anything. He said, we don't want to know anything about it. All right. So I come down, had me stand at the front, had everyone bow their head. So I want you, we're going to pray. And he said, I believe God's going to give word of knowledge to different people here that will help this person make his business decision. So they did that. And after a period of time, he stopped. He said, okay, so I just want you to speak out. If God gave you something, would you just speak it out? The very first person that spoke was a lady, and she was sitting right about where Liz is in the building, because I'm standing here. And she said, I see you, and you're wearing a captain's hat, and there's a logo on the front of the cap, and it's an anchor. Well, this got my attention right away, because I give leadership to Anchor Ministerial Fellowship. I'm the president of the ministerial, a licensing group, an ordaining group. We have 150 ministers. And so no one knows me there. And I'm thinking, no, this is interesting. So I had my attention right away. And then another person said, the Lord is saying for you to go ahead and not be afraid. Another person said, you're not the owner, you're a proclaimer. I see you as a proclaimer. And then another person said, I see the monies for this project coming. And the person, it's like it's on a silver offering plate. And then another person said, intercession will move the blockages. And I was looking at this, because I had written this down, I'd forgotten about that. And I thought, you know what, that's where we are right now. We need to pray, we need to intercede. It's going to remove the blockages. And then the next person said, you know, I see an open blue sky over you. And now in the Bible, there's closed heavens, there's open heavens. Closed heavens, like where there's brass that, you know, there's no blessings coming through. Bible talks about giving and that he will open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing upon us. And so I knew what these things were saying. And then the interesting one was at the very end, the leader who was, he said, you know, I felt something. He said, I saw a piece of property. And he said, it's very fruitful. There's lots of fruit trees on it. And there are monkeys in trees all around the property. And they were going to come in and take the fruit, but there are crocodiles and alligators all around the perimeter. I mean, this is what he said. He said, all around the perimeter, that's keeping the monkeys from getting on the property to eat the fruit. And then he said to me, does any of this make sense to you? Mean anything to you? And I shared it. You know, I said, well, you know, I'm a pastor. I said, I that's what I was trying to say at the beginning. And I said, you know, a lot of this, I said, I give leadership anchor ministerial. We just went down the list. I said, we were wondering whether we should go ahead. It's from what I understand, the Lord's saying, go ahead. Money's going to come from the offerings of God's people. And we need to pray and we need to intercede. And then I said this, that property has sat there, and at that point it was close to 18 years, with a for sale sign on, and no one's ever bought or come to say they wanted to build on it. It just sat there for all that time. And I said, I just have to believe God has protected it and that the fruitfulness of that property is for the kingdom of God and not for just natural things. Well, so we came home, talked to the people, the elders of the church and the leaders, and, you know, we said, you know, we don't want to be moved. We're not led by prophetic words alone. Because, you know, they can lead you astray. We have to feel it in our heart. But as we prayed and believed the Lord, we just felt, you know, this is the time to move on this property. Now, as we look back, retrospect, it was the absolute opportune time to buy that property. Because it had bottomed out. Shortly after that, when we got the property, things began to move around. Other pieces of property that, you know, on different corners began to be developed. And malls went in, and residential townhouses went in on property. Things began to go up. But in 2004, it just seemed to bottom out. And I look back, and it was the opportune time for us to buy that property. So I contacted the leader, and man, I can tell you stories again of that whole matter. But the man that owned the company that had the property, long story short, he said, we'll sell it to you for $400,000. $400,000. I said, will you take a mortgage back? Yes. I said, can it be open? We'll pay it off as soon as we get the money. He said, yeah. In fact, he said, the sooner the better as far as I'm concerned, because he gave us an interest rate. We were paying interest, but it wasn't that high. He said, so he said, yeah. I said, I'd rather have the money out of it. He said, it sat there all these years. He said, we need to, yeah. Now, God had kept that property for us for 18 years. They paid the taxes on it. They maintained it. They mowed it, everything. You know, but that property was kept for us. And so we decided we'd go ahead and buy it. But we were a small group of people. We were in this building, but we were only in one service. And we didn't have a lot of people. That was a challenge to us, to have $400,000, even though there was no pressure that we had to pay it. And so this is what, some of you will remember this little board here. We had this made up. It was a picture of our acre and a half and then the 2 acres beside us. You can't see it, but it has the new proposed building on it with parking out through here. And so we brought this out on a Sunday, sat it in the middle and said, this is our dream, but we need to turn the dream into reality. And then it was hard for you to see, but you see all these pieces on this 2 acres are all magnets. This picture is made up of 100 magnets. And so it was sitting there, and I remember flipping all these magnets over to 100 magnets were on the ground there. And I said, you know, the only way this dream is going to be turned into reality, if we can put these magnets back on the board. And I said, you know, there's 100 magnets. Each one of them represents $4,000. Because 104,000 is 400,000. And so I challenged people. I said, would you come and take a magnet piece, put it on your refrigerator, and believe the Lord that you could give $4,000 towards the project and save up. And when you have the $4,000, bring the money in, bring the magnet back, and we'll put it back on the board. We put on the back of each magnet piece a number so we knew where to go. So as we filled this in, it was just splotched all over. Magnets coming back, different places, but we were filling it in. And every week when a magnet came in, we'd just take time and say, another magnet came in, let's thank the Lord for it. People would thank and clap, and we'd put the magnet piece up, and we did that for years. We bought it in 2004, and that little diagram sat right down there. And so every week people would just saw it, see it filled in. People started to come during that time. And we believed that God was going to give us the answer to this. Because we believe this is what this property was excited for. You can come up, take a look at this after, but it was prayer and children's ministry and fellowship, and worship and outreach and life groups and youth and teaching. Those are the things that the property were excited about that was going to be on that property. And so I look on this thing and it says youth. And we're talking about changed lives. And people gave $4,000. Some took more than one magnet piece and believed the Lord for it. And they were investing that lives would be changed. I want Jordan to come up, share with us a little bit his story. He's a youth, came to the youth when he was 15, I heard this morning. He's going to tell you a little bit of how God changed his life as a result. I think that's ready to go. Oh, you got your own. Oh, good, good, good.
In the first service, it took about 3 tries to get this on, so... I don't really know where to start. My transformation, the word that when they asked me to do this was they wanted to talk about my transformation, about how God and the church has transformed me. So basically where I come from, my family is very Scottish, and I don't know if anybody here is Scottish, but if you've ever seen Scottish people party, they're all drinkers, so that's kind of where I come from. And the first time I actually came to youth, David and Dreka brought me for a coffee house. He knows I'm a musician and I like music and all that. And I at the time I wasn't a believer, but somebody had introduced me to Revelations and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And he started I thought at the time, I was 15, and I thought it would be funny if I showed up to church wearing a T-shirt for a black metal band called the Black Dahlia Murder, and they have, the shirt has a satanic priest summoning a demon. And I thought it would be, kind of funny, you know? In hindsight, it wasn't my greatest choice, but I still hear about that T-shirt, actually. And so, I started coming to the youth a little bit more, and then John Zivku actually, at the church picnic that year, invited me out to a Sunday service, and it kind of went a little something like this. Oh, you should come out to the Sunday service. Oh, I don't think my mom can drive me. She's working and all that. And I'll drive you. Oh, I think I might be busy. No, I'll drive you. No, I'll drive you. You can come. We'll take you to the second service. It's fine. Oh, well, guess it sticks out in my mind because I actually learned something that day. I learned it was the Canada Day weekend, and I had learned that, our national anthem has a second verse where it talks all about God and stuff. I learned something at church. And I just remember this big blanket of love and warmth being all over me. And I remember being really uncomfortable because it was 35 degrees already. And then, you know, I didn't come for another couple of months. I made a whole bunch of excuses, like, oh, you know, I got to get ready for football season, and football season came, and, oh, you know, I'm just too tired, and, you know, and then eventually, like, it, like, I was like, okay, you know what, I've got nothing better to do. I may as well, like, go to church. I've been thinking about getting baptized at that point for a little while. I didn't really know, like, a whole lot about it and a whole lot about Christianity. Like, literally, my first Easter as a Christian, I learned what the story of Easter was. Like, I honestly didn't know. So, and then, you know, after, it just so happened that the Sunday I chose to show up to church for the first time in, like, 6 months. Second time in 10 years, I think. You know, we're talking about getting baptized and the importance of baptism. I don't even, like, remember what Pastor Ken was preaching on, because I remember just sitting in the pew, like, in shock, because I'd, like, really given, like, some consideration to getting baptized. And just so happens that the one Sunday that I decided to show up, talking about baptisms, and I don't really believe in coincidences a whole lot. So anyways, here we are about 20 months later and getting ready to go off to Bible college where they're going to be, like, training to become, like, a minister of all things. Like, you think about where I came from, you know, like, people actually thought I worshiped the devil. Like, that's not even a joke. The thing about this church, I said it in the first service, that really stuck out to me is not like what I feel about the church and like how I can feel like God's love and the warmth, but like how my family doesn't come with me. I'm the only one. My stepdad came for my baptism, and he came for, we did a Christmas play this past Christmas that I was blessed to be a part of. And I remember just after I got baptized, my grandparents or something asked me, like, what kind of church it was. I was like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're actually from New Brunswick. Don't smile. That's cool, Larry. And they're used to, like, the Pentecostal thing, like Larry talks about, like, you spend the whole day at church, and that's what they're used to. And I was like, I don't even know how to, like, explain this church. Like, it's just a church. And my stepdad turned to him and was like, they're all about hugs. Like, extreme on the hugs. Like, all about, like, loving each other. And I was actually, just, like, during last service, I actually remember I came in one Sunday. It was, like, actually, it might have been the Sunday before I got baptized. And Louis Saramago, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Is that close? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. I remember he, like, did that, like, thing where you shake a hand and, like, you kind of hug each other. And happened, like, he was the first person to hug me that day. And three other people who I didn't know came up and hugged me. And then I went to the pew, and I'm like, I don't even know these people. This is insane. And a couple months back, my actual dad, my biological dad, came to church for 5 minutes. Like, honestly, like, didn't even hear any of the message. He just, like, stood there for the prayer for over the kids and spoke with David Nikolic and Curtis, Corey and Lisa's son. And he was honestly, like, legitimately frightened that the whole church was going to burn down if he stayed any longer. So he was literally there 5 minutes. And I remember we were outside, David Nikolic and I and my dad, and we were praying. And, like, I don't remember why, but I opened my eyes for a second, like, maybe rubbed my eyes or something. And, like, my dad was, like, shaking, because you could feel God's love in this building. He was literally there 5 minutes and hasn't stopped talking about how much he loved it.
Amen.
And actually, I'm sorry, after you mentioned the sand thing, it reminded me of when Jesus is saying to Peter, you know, the man who builds his house on sand will wash away, and the one who builds his house on a rock will stay, and it's this rock of faith that I'll build my church on. I couldn't help but think, like, it's a good thing we're not near water.
Good job, Jordan. Good job. Thank you. Well, we were filling in these magnets, and we came to year 2007. Our theme that year was a year of completion, that we believed that we were going to be able to completely pay off the indebtedness on the 2 acres in the year 2007. We started that year still owing about $134,000 on the property. But we believed and spoke to the folks, I believe by the end of this year we can pay off this property completely. Well, we got to November of that year and we owed still $110,000 on the property. So we decided that we were going to take a special offering. And so it was the first Sunday of December, I believe, and we said, we ask everybody to pray and bring an offering on this particular day. You ask God what you're to give, put it in an envelope, your name on it, and we're going to give that offering. And we're going to do it in praise and thanksgiving. I won't go into all the details, but we had been to Ghana and saw how they took offerings and how the people sort of danced up and gave their offering to the front. And so we made it a fun Sunday and had everyone come up and bring their offering and said, you know, just come up and if you feel to, just dance to the music as you come up. And you folks were quite creative as you brought your offering. The end of that offering, Pat called me, our treasurer, and said, well, you know how much came in? I said, what? $101,000 came in that offering. One time, largest one-time offering we've ever received in the church. $101,000. We're still about $9,000 short, but we were thanking the Lord and rejoicing that amount of money had come in. We asked everyone to participate. Small or as large, but only do what you feel the Lord has laid upon your heart to do. Well, we had about a month left, so we were believing the Lord that you know, the rest of the money, that $9,000, will come in over the rest of that month. And monies did come in, but we were still several thousand short going into the last Sunday of December, which was December 30th of that year. On that Sunday, and just before service started, a man came into my office. I just want to give you my donation towards the property. And with that donation that was given, we came within $1,000 of having the $110,000. And I rejoice because I know we can find $1,000. We can find and we can take that out of our general fund. And so we'll have enough money to pay this off. So we went into that last Sunday of December, shared with the folks that enough monies had come in. We were $1,000, but we were going to find that $1,000 out of our general fund to be able to pay the mortgage off. And we rejoiced and thanked the Lord. Well, the next day was New Year's Eve, and we had a New Year's Eve service here. And so it was the last day of 2007. Again, we rejoiced in what God had done. We finished. It was a little bit after midnight. Everyone had gone home. I was the last one out. I was just walking through, turning the lights out. I went into the foyer, and I saw a crumpled piece of paper sitting on the counter. And I thought, oh, someone's just left some garbage there. So I thought, I'll just throw that out. So I went to pick it up to throw it into the garbage pail. When I picked it up, I thought it was, you know, different, opened it up, and it was a check. A check made out to the church for $1,000. I couldn't read the name on it of who it was from. I didn't recognize anything about it. I thought, well, maybe someone's just joking. Someone just made the joke. Some child had written it because it was all crumpled up. So I'm thinking, I wonder what it is. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it to Pat and see what happens. So I gave it to our treasurer. I said, you know, I don't know. This may just be a joke, but why don't you see if it cashes. She put it in, and it went through and cashed for $1,000. To this day, I still don't know where that money came from. Don't know who it was who put that check, whether it was the Lord, an angel, or someone that we don't have any knowledge of. But we had the full $110,000 given on the last day of 2007. I tell you, it was such an exciting thing to share with the folks the next Sunday what had happened. And to say this, you know, some of you gave $5, some of you gave $100, some of you gave thousands of dollars. But everyone had to give what they gave or we wouldn't have had it. The smallest amount had to be given or we would have been short. The largest amount had to be given or we would have been short. That everyone, it just affirmed what each person had given as a result of having the exact amount come. Well, I tell you, that increased our faith. That's how the Lord has affirmed himself to us over the years. It's just an encouragement. So now when we go into this endeavor, needing to raise $400,000, not over a number of years, but over the next 4 months. Now, we're much larger now, but at the same time, it's a miracle. How could that happen? But I believe that we're going to move into this new building debt-free. We need another $400,000 to be able to do that. We'll tell you in a moment how we got to these points. But we're believing the Lord. So when we paid off the property, and we started working with the architect about how we would build a new auditorium. And so we talked about how we were going to do it in different phases. And so after a lot of back and forth and seeing what we should do, we decided we're going to do this at least in two phases. We're going to go out that way, expand the basement, put a new auditorium out there, move this wall back, and as a result, increase the size of this auditorium. We realized at the same time, now we need new washrooms because the washrooms are going to be downstairs and that's where children's ministry is going to be, and washrooms for children need to be separated from the other washrooms. Then we realized, okay, we can go down here, make new washrooms down the end of this hall. The present two washrooms will be combined into one washroom for the men. We'll do a whole new ladies' washroom on the right-hand side, move the electrical work that was there. Then at the same time, we realized we have to move the ground because we have to have a fire route going out to Thistledown, and so that property had to be raised 15 feet in areas. We had to bring in big land movers and move that over, and God gave us grace and favor with people. The gravel alone and the pavement is like $60,000 by the time, you know, so all this mounts up until we realize, okay, we need $1 million. $1 million to do this renovation. And so we pledged and people gave, and we had little chairs that we're going to, you know, give to a chair, and people gave, and about $650,000 has come in. And now we realize, okay, we need another $400,000 to finish off the complete renovation. We want to put chairs in here because we got to expand, and so it's hard to get pews to match. And if we put chairs in here, it's much more versatile in that they're pew chairs. They connect together. They're nice and comfortable, but we can move them, change the arrangement. And so all that costs money to do that. We have 330 chairs coming that we're going to put in here and increase this auditorium from 225 to over 300, depending on how many chairs we can put in here. What I'm trying to say is that these are steps, but investments. But we're investing to see lives changed. And that every step, as we have done our part, God does his part. And we believe as we face this next challenge that God's going to be as faithful as he was in the past. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he's done in the past, we're going to see him move in the future. And we're believing the Lord. This is what God has laid in our heart, that we'll move into this new property debt-free. Do you believe that we can do that? Do you believe that God will provide the funds if we do our part, bring our 5 loaves, our 2 fishes? Well, let me tell you this quick story. So we're in the process of starting. We had put some money from the general fund over into the building fund as we were going forward, as putting money aside. And we had $100,000 in our building fund. And I was speaking one Sunday morning on the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I remember standing right here. I was waxing eloquent on how the miracle happened, that the multiplication didn't happen when Jesus blessed it. He blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, but it didn't multiply then. No, it multiplied, it said, as he gave that to the other disciples, and it said, as they broke it and gave it. And then the people broke it and gave it. And I said, the miracle happens as they gave it away. If they had held it in their hand, they would have stopped the miracle. But because they broke it in half and gave it away, the miracle kept going. And then they broke it in half and gave it away. Broke it in half and gave it away. Well, I'm preaching, you know, talking about how we need to take what we have, break it, and give to other people. As I'm preaching, I feel the Lord speak to me. I'm right here, right in this spot. I remember it. I felt the Lord say, you need to break your building fund in half and give it away. Well, that means giving away $50,000. And I remember, you know, you don't know what goes through a preacher's mind when they're speaking. I mean, they're speaking, and then there's other things rattling around in your head. And I'm thinking, I'm sort of wrestling with this. Well, that's a lot of money. But then again, do you believe what you're preaching? Do you believe it, or you break it in half and give it away, God will multiply it? And so at the end of the message, I determined I was going to talk to the elders about it. So we did. We had a meeting. I told them what I felt. I said, I really feel we need to give half of our building fund away. We're going to, $100,000 is not going to build this building. And so we need to break it and give it away and trust that God will multiply it. The elders were all on side to a man. They love God. I love our elders, our leaders here. They're givers. They're generous. They said, let's do it. Well, I was leading Anchor Ministerial Fellowship. I'm aware of churches that are being built. And over the years, we had given $1,000 to a church out in Alberta who was building property. We gave $2,000 to a church in South River who was renovating a building. We gave $3,000 to another church in Toronto. We gave $5,000 to a church out of Laura Road. Because I know, given it shall be given unto you, that if you sow, it comes back. And if you don't sow, you're not going to get anything. So we had been sowing. So this was not unusual, but it was much bigger. $50,000. But I knew there was a church in Brampton. And I felt, you know, and I talked to the elder, I think we should give the $50,000. They're building a large building. They're still working on it. They don't have the funds. And so I called the pastor. The secretary said, he's over in the new building. I'll go get him. He came back, and I said, well, how's everything going? He said, good, everything's fine, yeah. And I said, well, we feel that we should, as a church, donate to your building fund $50,000. There was a long pause on the end of the line. And then the pastor said to me, I was just over in our new building. He said, Ken, you won't believe it. He said, we need to spray this building before winter. It's going to cost us $50,000, and we didn't have the money. He said, I was down, I was praying in our new building. I was standing, I said, Lord, you need to give us $50,000. If you would just provide $50,000. And he said, and then they came and got me and told me you were on the phone. What a tremendous confirmation that was to us. And last May, we had our conference held in that new building. And what a beautiful 1,200-seat auditorium they're in over there. And to know that we had contributed to that and that we were an answer to prayer. See, you can never outgive God. And so God will answer if we're faithful. I'm going to have Louis come up. If you hang with me, this is our last Sunday. I know we're stretching our time, but if you hang with me today, Louis is going to share what happened as he came to the church and how God was moving in his life.
Right in the top. Thank you, Pastor Ken. Good morning, everybody. Well, it's afternoon now, but my name is Louis Saramago. I'm an elder here at the church. There was a time I wasn't always an elder. I was
a little closer.
I was growing up, I kind of pulled away from God. I got involved in gangs and got involved with a lot of bad stuff. A few of my friends have gone to jail. One of my friends died in jail. And a couple other of my friends had gotten shot. I knew that if I continued on that path, that's the path that I was going to end up on. I remember when me and Liz were, we'd sit in bed and her uncle would call us and he would tell us about God and tell us that we had to get close to God. And we'd be like, oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, we'll go to church. And we never did. We'd jump around from church to church once in a while and we never really hung on. And I remember we would like kind of badmouth her uncle because he would like go to church and he'd miss like weddings, family events. And we'd be like, oh, well, you're supposed to be part of like loving and you're not going with your family. But we didn't realize, you know, that it was God that was calling him. And one day he was shot back in Guatemala. He was shot 10 times, actually. And while he was dying there, he got on his knees and he prayed for the people that shot him. He prayed for God to forgive them. And I knew that the way I grew up and the way I knew that I wouldn't be able to, if somebody did that to me and took me from my family, that I wouldn't be able to forgive them. I wouldn't be able to ask God to give them grace and mercy. I couldn't do that. So I remember we were struggling with it. And, you know, he's one of God's people working for God. How can God let this happen? And we realized that, you know, there's a reason that everything happens. God has a reason for everything. And we decided that we should look into giving our lives to God or go to church and see what he's talking about more. And I remember Liz and her mom started searching for a church. And they heard Pastor Ken on the radio speaking. And they said, oh, he's such a good speaker. We should go check him out. And I was like, okay, we'll go to church, but don't expect me to get involved. Don't expect us to be in groups. We'll just go on Sunday, and when that's it. And I remember the first day we came here, we sat down, and people started putting their arms up and clapping. And I remember thinking, oh, what am I doing here? And Liz looked at me to see if I was going to run out the door. And we stayed, and I'm glad we stayed because I heard Pastor Ken's message. And it was as if Pastor Ken was sitting in our living room every day, and he saw what we were going through in our lives. And I remember sitting with Liz and saying, like, it can't be normal to have someone know everything about your life, right? We didn't realize that it was God. So we started coming to church. We decided to give our lives and be baptized. I remember Liz had said, oh, we got to get baptized. And I was like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not good enough to get baptized. I got to get better. And I remember a few months passing and God saying to me that I'm never going to be good enough to be baptized, that we get to get baptized first to change, right? So we got baptized. I remember shortly after Liz's dad started coming, Liz's sister started coming, and her other sister. Now everybody's serving the church. Everybody's saved. My mom's coming. My grandparents were coming. So it was a very big blessing, this church, just to see God's work and how it works in here. I remember we came in 2006 when this was actually up. It was still missing a bunch of pieces. And people would give and they would bring up the magnet. And I remember saying to Liz, oh, I wish we could get involved in that. But it was too late. That had already been done. So we just slowly started giving towards the building fund. And then I remember when that was done and we burnt the mortgage here for the property, how exciting that was. And a few years had passed, I think. And then we started the project for what we're doing now. And I remember Pastor Ken here speaking on that very moment and then telling us in a meeting that he was going to, I think it was a financial meeting or something Pastor Ken was talking about. He said he was going to give $50,000 to another church. And I remember in my head thinking, well, don't we need that for our church? And Pastor Ken's like, if you're faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. And I remember him saying that before this, that we need to have our money work for us, not us work for our money. So I remember praying to God. I worked in factories all my life. And I remember praying, and I'm like, God, how can I make money that it works for me and works for your kingdom? And he put in my heart to make pizza. So I know it's pizza people think, but a lot of people eat pizza, and it's something people are always eating, right? So we decided to start getting into that. And I remember us trying to get money, and we had money put aside for the building to buy the pizza place. I could only afford like a small little ma and pa pizza place. And then I remember what happened here, and I felt God was putting in my heart that you need to take some of that money that you have to invest in your future and put it to my future. And I talked to Liz, and I remember thinking right away, I'm like, oh, you're crazy. If I take that money out, how am I going to get my pizza place? How am I going to get, you know, work for my benefit, right? And I remember sitting down with Liz, and we're like, well, we have to believe in God, that he has a reason for that. And I remember we took some money. We gave, I think, just from that one, $5,000. We had invested in our chairs that we have now, and we tried to double it to make room for the future, because we knew someone paid for where we were sitting. We knew that we didn't pay for that, so we wanted to do the same, right? So we gave the $5,000, and I remember thinking, you know, I gave it with a happy heart, but also in the back of my head, there was the voice going, you need that money, you need that money. And within 2 weeks, my boss came up to me, and he had offered me a Little Caesar's pizza. He said that it's available. There's no way that I would be able to afford a pizza place like that. That's like four or five times the value of what I was looking to even invest into. And I know for a fact that without God, like, I'm still paying for it, but God put that in my hands. And without him, I would not be doing what I am doing today and serving either in God's church. So that was what the church has done for us and God.
Thank you, Louis. You know, that combination, having our lives changed, investing in God's work, and then seeing other lives changed, it happens over and over again. And so this is where we are today. Through the monies we raised, as I mentioned, we had about $650,000 have come in. But this project is over $1 million. And so we're just asking the Lord, how can we do this? And we're just believing that God wants us to move into this debt-free. That's laid on our heart. That is a miracle, to raise $400,000 in 4 months' time. But as we begin to think about how we could do this, we thought, and you can bring up that slide, the leaders, we sat down together and we said, you know, is it possible? What could we do? And we thought, well, if 10 people gave $10,000, that'd be $100,000. If 15 people gave $5,000, that's $75,000, and on down the list until finally if 100 people gave $500 in the next 4 months. In other words, we need 220 people. And we have 220 adults in our congregation, husbands, wives, spouses, children, teenagers, not as much children, but teenagers. And I realized, you know, part of me says, well, you know what, you don't want to go to the people too much. You know, but that's a lie of Satan, because Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. Jesus said with the same measure you give, it will come back to you. And so you never do a disservice to anyone by giving them an opportunity to give. Now, it would be wrong if people were forced or pressured or feel obligated, and we don't want that to happen at all. But we do want to give people an opportunity to give and to let the Lord speak to their heart. Because it's not equal giving, but it's equal sacrifice. As we read in the portions, it talks about if we will deny ourselves, then God works, and he works in our life, and he shows himself strong. You know, sometimes you'll never see a miracle unless you step out of the boat. You'll never walk on the water unless you step out into an area where I'm uncertain. You'll never see a miracle of an impossibility being met until you have an impossibility. And I can tell you story after story, and I don't want to tell my own stories here, but God, how God has blessed me as I have invested and tried to take the lead and doing what I'm asking the people to do. And God has blessed me back and so forth. And so I want, at the close of this service now, to give you an opportunity to pray and consider what the Lord would want you to do. This will be the last Sunday. We've done this for the last two Sundays. This is our last Sunday. We've been talking about investing to change lives. And you've heard the stories, how lives have been changed. And how even if we do the littlest amount, God meets. Corey and Lisa McKay were here in the first service, and they weren't able to stay. But they volunteered to say, we want to tell our story. And they just shared quickly when they came up that 2 weeks ago, they have limited income. But 2 weeks ago, they were in the service, and the Lord laid on their heart to give. First, they felt $500. And then they said, they shared this morning. They said, but then they felt the Lord say to them, but that wouldn't stretch you enough. And so they decided they would give $1,000. They were going to believe the Lord for it. And that they were in a building where they had to have air conditioning, but they had just moved to a new apartment that had central air. And so they had two air conditioning units. And they shared this morning that during this last week there was a heat wave. They put their air conditioning units on Kijiji, and it was sold within 15 minutes, and they had sold both of their air conditioner units, and they had over half the pledge come that they had pledged to the church. And so they were just giving glory to the Lord that if you take a step, God meets you. Now, that's a simple thing. And so all I'm saying is that take a step as the Lord shows you, as he beckons you forward. So just at the close of the service, I'm going to ask the elders that are here to come up and stand with us today. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head and just to pray for a moment. And just ask the Lord what he would want you to invest to see lives changed. And this is a good place to invest because lives are changed through the power of the Lord as they come here. Let me read these verses as you're just meditating before the Lord. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, there's no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. So, Lord, I just pray now as we are in your presence that you would just speak to us, each one individually, and that we would sense in our heart what you're prompting us to do. You just keep your heads bowed and no one looking around, because this is just between you and the Lord. No one else needs to know. But if the Lord prompted you in your heart that to give $10,000 and you just feel that's what God is saying to you, would you just hold your hand up and hold it up high, and we'll give you an envelope that just says that on it so that we know that that has got out. We've had a number of these $10,000 envelopes go out. So if you just feel anyone here this morning just feels that on their heart, we just thank the Lord for this. Amen. Or perhaps the Lord spoke to you the figure $5,000, and that's what you feel that the Lord wants you to do. You just hold your hand up high and we'll just give you an envelope to that degree. Amen. Just thank the Lord for this. Perhaps it was 3,000. That was the figure the Lord laid on your heart. We need 25 people that will give $3,000. Just lift your hand up, hold it up high, and we'll just be able to give you an envelope. I know many of you have already pledged in the other services, but just give an opportunity for anyone that's here to do this. Maybe the figure was $2,000. That's what he laid on your heart, that you were to give $2,000. You feel that way, just hold your hand up good and high, and we'll just respond, give you an envelope. Amen. Amen. Let's move to $1,000. If that was the figure the Lord laid in your heart, you can give that in the next 4 months. Thank you, those that are responding here. The Bible says the Lord loves a willing and cheerful giver, and that's what we're doing, just responding to what the Lord is saying in our hearts. The finer figure we have on the board is 500. If anyone feels that's what I believe the Lord I can do, I can give the Lord $100 over the next month, and over 5 months I can pay off this 500. If you feel that way, you want to invest in the work of the Lord here, see lives change, just hold your hand up good and high, and we'll just respond to you this morning. Amen. Amen. I just believe as we do our part, our 5 loaves, our 2 fishes, God's going to do the rest. He's done it in the past over and over again. You know, we have these numbers laid out on this board, but my experience is the monies aren't going to totally come through these numbers. That's just doing our part. But God works. I think we're going to save money in this project. I think people who can't give financially, aren't feeling led to give financially, can volunteer time. Say, you know, I can give a Saturday and I'll come work, volunteer my time. There's so many different ways we can give to the work of the Lord to see lives changed. Amen. Let's all stand together this day together. Amen. I want us to pray. Father, I thank you for each one who's taken a step of faith, responded to that inner voice, and have given. And Lord, I just believe that you are going to now pour back into their lives. Show yourself to be strong. Show yourself to be real in their life. Lord, we're opening the door for you to bless us. Lord, you said, give and it shall be given unto you. So we open our arms wide to receive your blessings back into our life, whether it be health, whether it's advancement in other ways, healing in relationships, or perhaps increases in promotions or monies coming into our lives. We just open ourselves to be a recipient of your blessing upon our life. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to do one final thing. As a step of faith, we did this back in 2007. Made a declaration together as a church, and I'm going to ask you to just believe with us together and make a declaration. And we're going to declare that we're going to move into this new addition debt-free. And so if you would just declare it with me, just follow right after me. We declare through the power of the Holy Spirit and the name of Jesus that we are going to move into this new addition, completely debt-free. We declare it in Jesus' name for your honor and glory. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord this day.